Let's now turn to read God's word, and our reading tonight is in the Old Testament, but in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua and chapter 1. We're going to look at the life and the final episode in the life of Abraham this evening. But I wanted to take this reading from Joshua chapter 1 first of all. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship singing a portion, this time from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and at verse 7, telling us of the merits and the effect of God's word. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are, than honey, honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. Moreover, they, thy servant, warn how he his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. The spiritual effect of God's word convicting and converting as they are mentioned, but also it is the rule for our guidance and to lead us in everyday affairs of life. And when we do stay to that path, as the Lord indicates to us in verse 11 especially, there is that reward provided for those who so obey him. Psalm 19 from 7 then to 11, God's law is perfect. As I indicate there, would you turn with me then back to the book of Genesis and chapter 25. The book of Genesis and chapter 25. And we come to this final event and episode in our studies in the life of Abraham. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11 of this chapter. Then again, Abram took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medah and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan beget Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Leum. And the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanoch, Abinadah, and Elidah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abram gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abram had, Abram gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward into these country. And these are the days of the years of Abram's life which he lived, 175 years, 175 years. Then Abram gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Sohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abram buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abram that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai-roi. Whenever we're out walking or climbing or any kind of journey, when we come to the end of the road, especially if that road has been long and hard, there is always the inclination to stop and pause, just to take a break. But in taking that break, to look back where we've come from, the mileage we've covered, the obstacles we've overcome, the good and the not so good experiences along the way. We think of how we've coped with all that was thrown at us. The end of the road is a time of reflection. And as we do that, we import not just the physical events and the physical dimensions of our life, but whenever we gauge in that kind of reflection, we bring in the spiritual dimensions and components, and we derive spiritual lessons, and we see what good God has done for us along the way. So tonight we come to the end of the life of Abraham. In these our studies, we've traveled with him. We've traveled with him over different experiences. We've traveled with him, not every step or every year, but it's been 100 years since we met him. And first took note of what God said he would do with him and through him. And now we come to these 11 verses. And what we have here, we can summarize. We've got family trees. We've got death notices. We've got burial intimations. That's what we have in these 11 verses. And what are we going to get out of these for our own meditation and benefit tonight? What I would suggest we can get is, first of all, let us exercise the memory. Exercise the memory, and I deliberately put it that way because exercise involves effort. And there is going to be effort involved in the memory functioning here with ourselves tonight. There are times we've got to dig just that little bitty harder to uncover some treasure from God's word. And even when we get that treasure in our hands, we may not yet appreciate the full value of what we've got. Yes, it's a gem. But that gem comes from a seam. A seam with many other gems in it. A seam that runs in different directions. And it's getting into that seam that's going to involve the effort in promoting and stimulating the memory in what we want to do now. We read there in Joshua, and some of the lessons from Joshua we can take and apply here, because Joshua led the people through many different battles and conflicts over the years. Eventually, it came to the point where they had to divide the land by lots. And they were then going to go in and take and occupy what was allocated to them. So they were coming to a crucial point where they were changing their swords to spades. They were moving in their thinking from conflict to cattle. They were coming into a new phase of life and living as a nation. And the question always is, with that big change and transit, is God the same? At that crucial moment, at that big decisive time, what does Joshua do with these people? He makes them remember what happened to them in the past. And he makes them apply it in the present to them. He's making them dig. He's making them exercise their memories. He's making them remember what God did with them and to them as a nation. So the benefit of that, gems that they discover, revisit, remember, that these gems would have an effect upon them in the present. Here in our first chapter of Joshua, we read of the 2.5 tribes that had to go across to help the people out on the other side of the Jordan. And coming to the end of their battles and conflicts, they were going to go back across the land to go home. And Joshua wanted to leave a message with them. And when you go to Joshua chapter 22, there Joshua is deliberately addressing these 2.5 tribes. They've been through the same things, they've traveled the same road, they've fought the same battles, but now they're going back. And what does Joshua say to them? And he says, God has given your brethren rest. Therefore return and get to your tents. Get back where you've come from. And before that, in this chapter, Joshua is telling them, remember what God has done for all of you together. Take diligent heed to do the commandments and the laws, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. And then he says, to cleave to the Lord and serve him with all your heart and with all of your soul. Yes, remember what happened when you were over there with your people and you fought for them. Remember what God did for you all together. Exercise the memory and apply it as you now go back across the Jordan. And he doesn't stop there, because that was chapter 22, because he then goes on in chapter 23 to do exactly the same thing to the remnant who are going to stay where they were. He goes on and he says, I've divided this lot, the nations. I've done all these things for you. The Lord your God, he will expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess the land. That's what God has done for you. There is not yet a nation that can come against you. That's what he's got to do. Remember what God has done for you. And he uses that same word and he says, cleave to the Lord. He's been with you on the field of battle. Now he's going to be with you in the fields on your farms. Exercise your memory. Remember what God did for you in one situation. And he doesn't change. And he doesn't alter. And he's not different. There is a logic. There is a logic to our Christian faith. It's simply set out for us in Psalm 115. That part where the psalmist says, the Lord of us has mindful been, and he will bless us still. God has been mindful of us in the past. Think of it. And take it and apply it to the things that are now in prospect before you. Or again, the way the disciples, they were out in a boat, storm-tossed. And the Lord had to calm them. And the storm they were in. And we're told particularly, and they did not remember. They did not remember what God had done in feeding the thousands that were there just a moment before. They had broken down in that remembrance of what God had done in the past. He fed them. Will he not also keep us alive in the storm at sea? Exercise the memory. That's what he's told the people of Joshua's day. That's what the Lord was bringing home to his own disciples. We may face problems. We've never had them before. We may be in situations that are utterly new to us. But the assurance that we have is this. There's a seam. There's a seam in the Christian's life, in the Christian's revelation. And you can dip your hand in and you can take out. And you've got to dig for it sometimes. You take out a gem. Yes, God has been faithful to me in that particular situation. But that's only one of so many others that speak about God's faithfulness to us time and time again. So therefore, exercise your memory. Go back over these places, countless as they are, when the Lord has been faithful to you. Let them build up. Let them stack up before your soul. And let the soul feel the weight of them to assure you, to strengthen you as you face the unknown. Joshua, the Lord, Scripture, our God, wants us therefore to use our memories to look back. What then are we to do here? We are to do exactly the same in this chapter 25. We have, first of all, in verses 7 and 8. And these are the days of the years of Abram's life which he lived. 175 years, and Abram gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. There we have the funeral note he's given us. We've got to work hard to find something here. 175 years old, for 100 years he's followed the Lord. We're told here that he was an old man and full of years. When it says that, it's not talking about the quantity of the years. What he's talking about here is the quality of the time. Here is a man full of years, he's content. He possesses and he knows peace in himself. That's what the words mean. He's content in his life. It's been hard for Abram to get there. Remember, we've been looking at time and again the different plans that himself and Sarah drew up to fulfill the purposes, that the promises of God to them. They were interfering here and there oftentimes, and they had to learn. And they had to learn the hard way sometimes that the Lord can fulfill himself what he has promised. It takes time. It takes time to rest in God's way and in God's time. But the Lord achieved that in Abraham. And again, remember what we said, this gem concerning the faithfulness of the Lord, because when you go back, away back these 100 years, this time to chapter 15 and verse 15, we have there the very promise given to Abraham of what he now experiences and knows. Yes, exercise your memory, Abraham. Listen to what God told you so long ago. And here you are now. You've got it. God indeed has been faithful to his promise to you. That experience of looking back. Some people look back and they look back with regret. Some people look forward and they do so with fear. Some people look round about them where they are and they do so to complain. Not Abraham. He was now content with the way the Lord had led him, guided him. He was now content with the protection and the provision the Lord has made for him and to him. Some of the spiritual qualities and character of the Christian take time to form. It's not easy to accept what God is saying to us and what he requires of us. It's not easy to develop and to build up our Christian character as the Lord would have it built up. For it maturing, for it growing. Sometimes we've got to go back and learn the lesson time and time and time again. Abram had to. But by the end of the years, Abram had matured. He was content. He had peace. He was resting in the wisdom and in the power of his God to do exactly what God had promised to him. He could look back over these 100 years. A promise made that was now fulfilled. The faithfulness of God to him over these years he's journeyed and traveled along the path the Lord set for him. And now in the end of his days, in the sunset years of his life, he was at peace. He was content. He was exercising his memory, effort involved to look back. And he was content that God, who had been with him all the days he journeyed, would not abandon him. Now at the end of his days, and the closing of the years. Verses 7 and 8, the funeral notice. Move onward to verses 9 and 10. And this time we've got the burial notice. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, which is before Mamre. Again, why is there this detail given about the place that Abraham was buried in? And again, we've got to exercise the memory. We're taken back into chapter 23 of this book and the life of Abraham. And remember there what we learned. Abraham, he insisted on buying the cave and the field round about it. And the lesson that we got out of that experience in the life of Abraham was God was faithful in every little bit of promise that he had given and made to Abraham. God had promised Abraham that he would have the land. And here in the buying of the field was the beginning of that promise being fulfilled to him. Yes. God is faithful. And that's what's brought out here again in this repetition of it for ourselves. God is not content with 75% deliverance. Not content with 90%, not even 99.9%. For God, it has to be nothing other than 100% fulfilled of all that he has said. And that's what we have here in the reference to the field and the cave and where he was buried. The memory has been exercised, thinking back. There was God faithful again to what God had promised. Yes, much of what we've been looking at in Genesis was focusing upon the birth and the birth of the coming of Isaac. But the Lord did not forget the promise also involved the land. It didn't look to be much at the point of time. But here was the Lord faithful to what he had said. And he was going to do it for his people. Joshua tells us, just when he was encouraging these people in the chapter we referred to there, Joshua 23, but especially at verse 14, he says, not one crumb of what God has promised has fallen to the ground and to the floor unfulfilled. And here in the burial notice, the mind of these people is again exercised and their memory is in operation. Yes, is that not what God said? They'll have the land. And here he is being buried in the place that he bought, in the land the Lord started to give him. The faithfulness of God. A man of peace, content in life. A man who had started to possess the land that the Lord had promised to him. Verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai-roi. Why was that put in? Why mention this well at all? And again, our memories have got to go back. And we've got to start exercising the memories. This time back to chapter 16. It's the episode concerning Hagar. She was to be, or at least she was proposed to be the surrogate mother to the child of promise. But that's not the way the Lord operates. And eventually there was bad feeling arose between Hagar, the child, and Sarah. And Hagar had to go. But yet the Lord saw her. And the Lord sent his angel to minister to her. The Lord's care and the Lord's loving kindness demonstrated to her. Even although she was caught up as she was in the plotting between Abraham and Sarah. A victim, a disposable victim might even be said. But here again we have that memory operating. God's faithfulness even to Hagar. And it wasn't, as we said, a one-off gem. The seam is there. It wasn't a one-off thing because we move from chapter 16 into chapter 21. And there the Lord continues his kindness towards Hagar. The faithfulness of the Lord in his consideration, in his affection, in his loving kindness to these people. Simply the places that are mentioned, the names that are given, all of them kicking in the memory with us all. We didn't go beyond verse 11, but just simply to take the rest of that chapter. We have from verse 11 the children or the Ishmael's family. We talked about family trees. Well, here's Ishmael's family tree. And we're told certainly from what we're given here that they got on well. They had towns, they had castles. And we're told particularly at the end of verse 16 that they were 12 princes. 12 princes. All of them well off. And again, you're back to chapter 17 and verse 20 this time. And that's exactly what the Lord promised that they would be, and this is what the Lord would give them and make of them. And here we have that gem coming out again. Exercise your memory. Think of what was said. Yes, God said it. And here it is. God has fulfilled it. You might dig around the path. You might meet the people that he's met. You can take a spin through the history of his life. But you come to certain events, certain places. And you slow down. And you stop. And you've got that milestone along the way. On the journey, you stop and you look back in the places that you've journeyed through. And you time and time again, you're reminded. Simply these names that are given to us here. But every one of them bringing back to the memory of Abraham and to us. The faithfulness of the Lord. And if you join them all up, you get that rich seam. That rich seam of God's faithfulness to his people. And he's the same in his dealings with us still today. And we can look back over our life as Abraham was able to look back over his. It might be just a name. It might be just a place. It might be just a face for you and me. But that one single key opens a whole cupboard, cabinet, drawer, opens for us a whole pile of memories with spiritual lessons. And we might be able to take out one of them. And we've got a journey along life, and then we find another one. And then we go down the life yet further and we've got another one still. And we've got these three gems in our hand. And we can do with them the same as Abraham could do. Join them up in your memory. And you see there the faithfulness of God. So that's the first thing that we have here that I want us to see simply from the names given to us here. Exercising, putting effort into your memory, and it's working and it's functioning, drawing it out. And you have this one beautiful spiritual lesson of the faithfulness of God in all of these different needs, places, to people. But there's one other lesson I want us to take from this before we finish and close. Not only the exercise of memory, but I want also to think about the endurance of God's word. The endurance of God's word. We are, after all, here confronted with a burial notice. We've been reminded about the way in which the Lord had promised land to Abraham. He said that he would be a mighty nation would come from him. But all of these promises had been given to Abraham. And now Abraham is dead. Are the promises buried with him? Despite the length of time, the change in circumstance, the promises are not forgotten. They're not neglected, and they're not suspended. We see this very same situation in a reading there in Joshua chapter 1. The very same situation we have, not the death of Abraham, but this time in Joshua 1, we have the death of Moses. And the same question hovers in the air. Is there going to be any adjustment in the promise because of the death of the servant of the Lord? Does the promise change because there are changes which we go through? And not only does that question hover with Abraham, hover with Moses, it's a question that comes down to ourselves also. There are many, many things changed round about us. Many things change day after day. But this one thing we can be sure of: God's word and God's promise does not change. However much we change, our circumstances, or time passes over us. It was 100 years and they never changed with Abraham. There was Abraham. He was a great example of faith and trust. He was willing to sacrifice his son. He did so with the conviction that God would restore his son. But what about the followers that would come after Abraham? Would they be of the same mold as Abraham was? Would they have the strength to trust him as Abraham did? Will the promises survive? Abraham gave rise to Isaac, married Rebekah, and they were barren for 20 years, very similar to Abraham and Sarah. Isaac prayed. We're told in verse 21 of this very chapter, he entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Problems continued. Jacob was born. And again, Jacob married Rachel. And Rachel was barren. But eventually gave rise to the child Joseph. And you look at Joseph and you see the way in which his life was so amazing, the way in which he was brought down into Egypt in such a remarkable way, the way in which he was the second in command in Egypt, the way in which he was there for a particular purpose. You meant it for ill, but God meant it for good. God's promise and God's word endured through all of the 7 years of famine by God placing Joseph just in the place where he would be best suited for the needs of his people. God preserving the promise, looking over it and looking after it, coming down all the years. The same could be said about Moses. He was the man that brought them out of Egypt. He was the man that parted the sea. He was the man that received the law, the one consulted with all the difficulties, giving advice. He was a wise man. He served the nation for 40 years. Who's going to take his place? Joshua was. But Joshua was always the one who lived in the shadow of Moses. A brave soldier, a strong faith. But did he measure up to Moses? No. There was a cloud over the nation. How would he cope? And the Lord is saying there in chapter 1 as we read it, don't compare him to Moses. Arise, Joshua. You go your own way. But trust in the same God. We've all got our own gifts. We've all got our own work to do. New faces work. New faces open up that require the qualities of a Joshua, not the qualities of Moses. And so when they move on, the man is different, but the promise and the God stays the same. Men may come and men may go. Men may die and others take their place. But the promises of God live on and on. They do not evaporate in the face of a funeral, be it of Abraham or Moses. They're not overwhelmed by the river blocking their way ahead. The promises of God are not frustrated by a city walls or by murdering kings. God's word will endure. There was a promise of a great nation. We've said it, yes, and it was Abraham with his sons and then Moses and the people. And we come to one more example that I want to take about is David. And David was indeed to be the one from whom the Messiah would be traced and come. But in the life of David, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, there was a threat from a king, or at least a queen, to kill every single child of royal descent. And if that had happened, then indeed the promises would have been frustrated and fallen to the ground. But there was one auntie. One auntie who took one child and protected and preserved that one child. And from that one child we have David's line descending and fulfilled and coming. Yes, God's word will endure. And God's word will survive. Under threat it might be, but God will provide it, God will protect it, and God will fulfill it. Coming through David to the Messiah, the life and death of Christ on the cross, the promise that was made so long ago to Abraham, now fulfilled, a great and mighty nation indeed. So many problems, so many danger points. Yet at all of them, the Lord was vigilant, watching over his word to ensure it was fulfilled. There's a beautiful, simple phrase that is given to us right in the very first chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now that's the way it's given to us in the English. I will hasten my word to perform it. But what it means is this. I am watching over my word to perform it and to see that it is fulfilled. God is watching over his word, the promises he's given and made, to see that they are fulfilled. We can say to ourselves, what if? What if this? What if that? These changes that we see round about us today, they will not change or affect what God has promised, and he will do it. They might rise mountains round about us, but there is that commitment that God's word will indeed survive and the promise will indeed be fulfilled. Many things change, but there is one thing that does not change. And that is God's word. With the death of Abraham, with the death of Moses, with the threats against David's line, nothing, but nothing will thwart God's word from being fulfilled. And I want just to close with one last thought, focusing on something that's given to us in verse 8. Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. What does that phrase mean? It doesn't mean where he was buried, being gathered and put into a place where all the rest of his nation was buried, because Abram was buried apart from them. He was buried where only Sarah was buried, in the cave of Machpelah. So it wasn't his burial that has been mentioned there. It doesn't mean either that, it doesn't say, or it doesn't mean it's not the same as his death, because we're told that Abram died in a good old age and he was gathered to his people. So whatever it's talking about happens separate from dying and the experience of death. It doesn't even refer to burial, to be gathered with the people, because Jacob died, we're told in chapter 49 at the very end of it, Jacob died. And we're told he was gathered with his people, but he wasn't buried for some time after that event of death. What does it mean? It means this. Abraham's people still exist after death. They survive in some way. There is an afterlife spoken of in that phrase. Death is not the end. We do not cease to exist when death comes. We are gathered to our people, and afterward we will meet our God. For that experience, the believer need not be afraid or fearful, simply because of what we've been gathering together here tonight. We have the assurance that the time of death, that faithfulness that has followed Abraham and Moses and God's people all the days of their life will be still there for the believer in the time of his or her greatest need. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And Psalm 23, so well known to all of us, thinking of death, the end of that chapter, the end of that psalm itself, there he is, the psalmist is looking back and he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What is that speaking about except the thing we've been talking about here tonight? He's talking about that constant repetition in his experience of God's faithfulness to him. We all know the illustration that Douglas Macmillan used when he spoke about this. When he was rounding up the sheep, the two dogs that were sent to round up the sheep and to bring them where they ought to be. One dog was called goodness, and the other dog was called mercy. The way the Lord gathers his people to himself, the way in which we can look back, as Abraham could do at the end of a long journey of 100 years with the Lord, we can also take time ourselves to look back. We can pick out this event, that experience, that place, that person. And we can see, as the psalmist tells us, yes, that's when God's goodness, that's when God's mercy was known by me and shown to me. That's when God was faithful, and not just there, and not just then, but I can look in so many other different places, and I can see that great seam of God's unchanging, unbroken faithfulness in looking after Abraham, Moses, David, Douglas, ourselves. If we are one of the Lord's people, we are indeed kept safe, looked over, preserved and protected, and we are ready to be gathered to our people. Are we? Are we ready to go? Are we ready to face our God? Have we got that quiet confidence and peace to look back and to pick out here and there God's goodness, God's mercy, God's faithfulness, to us along the path of life. The death of Abraham. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, open our eyes and make our hearts sensitive, so that we may be able to read our own book of life, that we are able to look back over the journey we've been on and the way that we've taken, to see the intervention of our God time and time and time again, turning us away from this or that, preserving us in time of danger, providing for us in time of need. And may we conclude and see there the constancy of thyself to each and every one of thy people. And may we therefore be at peace. May we be quiet and possess our souls as we journey towards the end of our days, without a ripple upon our life, without anything to disturb our peace, only as we trust and rely upon thee. Lord, grant thy blessing upon thy word to us this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Thy word forever is, O Lord, in heaven settled fast. Unto all generations thy faithfulness doth last. The earth thou hast established, and it abides by thee. This day they stand as thou ordainest for all thy servants be. Unless in thy most perfect word my soul delights had found, I should have perished when as my troubles did abound. Thy precepts I will ne'er forget, the quickening to me brought. Lord, I am thine. O save thou me. Thy precepts I have sought. Psalm 119 from 89 to 94. Thy word forever is, O Lord, in heaven settled fast. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.